Welcome to C2Y Podcast, discussions on child and youth care. I'm Wolfgang Vashon. When C2Y Podcast first started, we would alternate each episode between someone who provided services and someone who accessed services. We believe it's crucial that those who work in the system listen to those who have experience in the system. C2Y Podcast comes out of Connect to Youth, a program that does pre-service and in-service training for those who work with young people. Our vision at Connect to Youth is that every professional who works with a young person is trained by a young person. All the trainers with Connect to Youth are young adults who have system wisdom. In some of the workshops we do, trainers tell parts of their own life stories. We always frame these stories as ways to look for capacity in young people and ask how professionals can encourage that capacity. Where does this individual show agency? Are there examples of reflexivity and relatedness that can be supported? Today's podcast is not an interview. It's one person's story. In order to protect his identity, he has taken on the name of Ali. Ali came to Canada as a refugee. He is currently going through the long process to see if he can stay in Canada and ultimately become a citizen. His story is beautifully told and has many loving and difficult moments. I was quite touched when I first heard it. Towards the end of the podcast, Ali names some specific organizations. Some he likes, some he does not. I debated taking these out. I left them in because I think it's important for all of us to think about how the things we do impact the people we work with. I've had or have professional relationships with all of these organizations, and my experience with each of them has been positive. Now, here's Ali's story.
Hi, my name is Ali. I'm just going to tell you a piece of my life story that happened to me to know that I'm here in Canada. It started with my mom. She's all Christian-like. So she always trying to take me to church and tell me what's wrong from right and other stuff. So while growing up as a young kid, when I start remember, 8 years old, I start realizing that I have sexual interest in my own sex. So I was playing around with it a bit with some schoolmates that I met at school, because I had one live right next to me, close by. So he normally come over and we fool around. So after that, yeah, so when I get older, I start having some difficulties because I never realized my home country was so homophobic until I start, my feelings for other guys start being so severe now. Some start having sexual intercourse with other guys anywhere. So my first time was at school. When I was around 14, 15, 16. Yeah, it was this guy, Kendall. And he normally try hit on all the girls them, but for some reason we was kind of connected. And at one point it had this specific room downstairs, the school building, and I think showers of rain was about to fall, and we take shelter there. And while we was in there, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but we started making out. And this other guy, I don't know, he just appeared from nowhere, and his name was Jamal, and he caught us. And he was like, start calling me homophobic names. And then he had this piece of, it had this weapon that I can't remember exactly what it was. And he took it and he struck me across my eyes. Right now, you can see the scar there. And Kendall, he tried to defend me. So eventually other teachers got involved. And we were saying, telling the teachers, it was nothing like that. This guy just, he's just a bully and he's just picking on us and trying to fight us. Nothing came out of that. All the teachers did was tell him to keep from me, and call our parents, and that was it really. After, he was always telling me he gonna meet me one day all by myself, and that's when he gonna, I'm gonna see exactly what's happened. After that, when I get into college in my home country, I had this, have this aunt, and she lived around Annisvale area. And I went with my friend, she was a female. I normally take her everywhere I go because I know how it's like in the country with homophobia. And while going around Annisville area to go at my aunt's place, I was walking and I saw a group of boys on the corner. And I ignored them. And we was just chatting and continue going to my aunt. And while going up the hill, it's just suddenly this person just appeared in front of me from nowhere. And who was it? It was that same guy from school, Jamal. And he start like calling me names again and saying, why, what am I doing around here? And he don't want no batty boy in this area. And he start chucking me, pushing me. Then the other guys, so they start pushing me back and forth. So I start screaming for help. And my friend, she's like, she's trying to fight. I was telling her, like, try go for help or something. And she was just screaming. Then she took off. I don't know where she went. Then through the struggling back and forth with them, they start hitting me. My head and different parts of my body kicking me. So I got away after and I ran. And I was just running. And I ran through these bushes. I didn't know where I was going. And I end up falling over a cliff. And I had so many bruises and scars on my body that I have now to show. So after I went home, I think I met my friend Olya, and I told her I'm going home. I was in so much shock. After I went home, my mom see me, and she was asking me, like, why I have so many bruises on my skin. I told her I got robbed. So she was like, okay. And she was asking me questions like, where was I? I told her where I was and what I was going for. I told her what I was going for. And I think she called the same aunt and asked her what went down. And then after they told me that, I think they told me I should go and report it to the police station. So I did that. And after all of that went through, I was home. I was sick for like, because my parents, they didn't take me to the hospital or anything. I was just at home, sick and unconscious. All I can remember is like, this person came in my room and they was asking like, what's wrong with me? And they was just, my parents was just saying I'm just sick. I couldn't have even have reply or say anything. It's like I was so sick I couldn't have move, not even talk. But I did recover. And after I recover, maybe I was still experiencing sexual intercourse with other guys, like around 2012 April. I can remember about the 2012 April. I think me and this guy, we had sex. It was at my place because my parent wasn't home. They normally go to church on Sunday, so So I invite my friend over. I was playing video games, PlayStation. At that time we had the PlayStation 2. So he was playing video game football, his favorite. And after we were smoking weed, get so high, we stopped making out. That was such an awesome time. You know. And it was good. No one ever found out about that one. That was a really good moment to remember. And I think it was the 29th. I think I can remember the specific date. Like, I'm not sure. But of April. We still in contact. We still keep in contact up to now. You know, we're still friends. Yeah. But that was the good times. But reason why I had to really come here is because I was having more sexual relationship with other guys because I was still kind of I don't know, I don't even know what the word to use, but like I was experiencing different changes about myself. And this one time I was at this bar because me and Trevor normally we hang out on Fridays to the weekend at this, well, it's just like an open area, we call it Heritage Square. Yeah, at an open area, so normally they have loud music there and they just drink and we just have a good time. Yeah, but it was nowhere in my home country is never safe, so it was so unsafe. And you're normally tossing bottles and fighting is already there with knives, stabbing. The last time I can remember, this person was so badly stabbed that they rushed him to the hospital. Maybe they even die. As soon as I saw that, I was out of that place. I stopped going there for a while. And after the Trevor always keep telling me, you know, I should come and just chill and have some nice time. I did that some few times, and after I start trying to be safe. There's one specific time where I actually go and I find myself in Sharp Bar. I have a bar there, they call it Sharp Bar. And I was just there sitting at the bar and this random person was just there and we start chatting. He was buying me drinks and I was drinking Guinness, one of our favorite drink back home. And we was flirting, you know, we was flirting. For some reason, we was in the bathroom, and we would start making out. It even came to the point when we almost start having sex. And I start hearing noises. I can't even remember where that person was at the time, but it's like I hear noises, and it's like they was trying to record something. I don't know if they get to record me or what happened. But I moved so brisk. I was like, shit. So I fixed myself as quickly as I can, and I ran. And it was like, hold him, don't let him get away. And so I find two men in there kissing and bullying, whatever the word they use. And I was running. It's like a stair area, so you have to run down the stairs and through this next place. And they was like after me, and before I even exit that place, someone was at the door, and the person from behind of me was shouting, stop him. And so I just ran, and I pushed that person. I don't know where I get the strength from, but I just had to get away. And one of the passenger vans, we call it passenger van back home, you guys call it bus here, and I just hop in it, because we couldn't catch a van anyway. You don't have a specific bus stop. You can just stop a van and just go in it. And I was straight home that day. After I tell my friend, I told her what happened to me. I told her I had to leave. I can't like hide my sexual identity anymore. And so many people already see me. I now realize it's illegal in my country. I never even know that. You know, you can get like 10 years imprisonment or some shit. I never understand why you locked up people or even kill people just because they're different, you know? But yeah. My mom now, I spoke to her about me leaving the country, and I told her I need some help because I wanna leave. I never tell her why. I just told her I want to like have a different life, and if she can help me. I was like self-employed, but nothing to make this big set of money, just enough to get food for myself, because I was just like, I could not have stayed home because my father was very abusive physically and verbally. He never tell me nothing positive. So I was just, at one point I get to stay by my friend, because in a way she was always fighting for me. I guess she realized I was bisexual, I never confirmed it with her, but she had an idea I was, because at one point I was asking her, let's try anal sex. And she was like, no. I was like, I want to try it. I want to feel what it's like to do it with a girl, you know? And she was like, what do you mean with a girl? I was like, it's not a meeting. I just want to try it with a girl. And at one point we was trying it, and after she said, no, it's too much. She can't go no more. And yeah. I was angry because I wanted to go all the way in. And she was just making too much noises, and I could not have allowed anyone. But I could actually trust her, because she actually keep it to herself, despite her whole family was homophobic, because the area she was living also is like ghetto people and people who, a lot of violence. So I have to know how to blend myself in so I can be safe. You know, if you're not ghetto, you was a punk, so you just had to be ghetto. So I had to make myself ghetto. And yeah, it was working for a while. But after people, her family always saying, your boyfriend, they would say, your man just act like a bowler man. And that kind of shit. Then I would be like, how can I be gay if I'm with your daughter? And they're like, but you just act like a bowler man. So normally I just ignore them and I change the conversation. You just speak ghetto with them and they'll just, okay. Because you have to kind of reflect, you know? So that worked out for a time, you know? Yeah. So at one point, my mom never accepted my friend because she was judging her family. Because she didn't like the family background, how it's ghetto and stuff. But I never care, because besides from her family background, the thing that I loved is that she was actually there for me when everyone was like against me. And no matter what I do, she never judged me, never called me names. Yeah, so I respect that about her. And it even teach me that, because it teach me that despite her family is so different and I'm raised in a different way, like, it's just good to be different. Nothing is wrong in being different. So it's like I start learning how to accept people no matter how different they are. Because me, myself, I was even different. And yeah. So at one point, my mom got this job at this place they call Monica's Restaurant. That's in my home country. And for some reason, everyone who works there was ghetto. And she was all Christian-like and stuff. And she thought she have to interact with these people because she needed a job. And she was interacting with these people. And eventually she formed a relationship with these people. And so I saw my mom start coming to me and asking me questions relating to those kind of backgrounds. So I was like, okay, this is very interesting. So we actually start building a relationship and conversation about the background spot, but I never could have speak to her about my sexuality. At the time, I decided not to because I didn't have in my head, like, where am I gonna go? Or what gonna happen? Knowing, I didn't know nothing. So I just had to be safe, just keep my boundaries. So she fell in love with this guy who worked there because she telling me that she have fun with him and she don't have fun with her husband, which, you know, for 20 something years, whatever. So she was asking me, like, why in her religion, whoever you married, you have to be with them for like all your life. But why is she having these extra feelings with this other guy? And he's not even a Christian. So at that point, I gave her my advice, kind of work with her for a while. She tried to, like, conversate here and there. Yeah. But it wasn't all good. But at one point, she tried communicate with my friend. Then after she tell me at one point she's still not gonna accept this person because other stuff. Well, I just leave it at that. So right now I'm just gonna tell you what happened to me, why I have to come to this place. Because this story is kind of long. I'm gonna go back to the part when I was at Sharp Bar. And that's why I'm here now. after getting attacked there, I got some money. My same friend, she got some money also. And my mom, I guess she borrowed some money because I told her I had to make up an excuse why I had to come here. Why I want to leave the country, not come here. So I tell her I want to like a vacation because I never traveled before. And she was like, okay, she think it's good for me. I was like, yeah, sure. I'm telling her, well, when I get you, I will just help her back with, I'll get back some money for her, whatever the case may be. So she accepted, she got to borrow some money. And at one point she called me and told me, yeah, she got the ticket for me. I'm like, okay, thank you. And before I knew it, I get to leave the country. I had to leave so early. I never traveled before, so I was so lost. So I was like, okay. So I had this paper in my hand giving me all different sort of directions that I never even know how to follow because it's so different. So after, I just, whenever I reach on the plane, whoever is in charge, I just give them the paper and they just direct me to where I have to go. When I reach in, before I reach at Canada's airport, I didn't have any problem going at the other airports. Everything was kind of fluid. But for some reason, I don't know, when I get to Canada's airport, it was like two different lineups. And the guy who was there, I don't know what was his job position, but he was like picking who he wanted to go wherever. So when he reached to me, he took my stuff, I think it was my passport and stuff. And then he read it and he tell me how to be like, you go that way. I'm like, okay. Like, gave me back my stuff. So the lady who was at the desk, she starts asking me questions. Like, why are you here? So I tell her, well, I'm just coming for vacation. She's like, who are you gonna stay with? I was like, okay, I'm gonna stay with my aunt. She's like, do you have a phone? Can I see your phone? I'm like, okay, sure. I gave her my phone. And she was like going through it. So I start feeling insecure, you know? I was like, what's gonna happen here? This, you know, I don't know all this stuff happening in the airport. So after she took my stuff, she asked me if I have the address of who am I gonna stay with, their contact information. Well, I wrote it down on a piece of paper, so I told her I wrote it down because I can't remember all those details. So I gave it to her and she told me to have a seat. So it was me and this other girl was there. I recognized the girl's face because I saw her in my country somewhere about, because my country is a very small place, so you can actually meet everybody. And I was sitting there. No, even before she even put me to sit down, she was asking me, how do I know so much Canadians? I told her I use Facebook and I get to meet a lot of people. And then that's when she put me to sit down. After she called my aunt, it's like, whatever happened there. But after she called me back up and she told me, I can go now. My aunt is waiting for me outside. So I said, okay. And her face was like, her face was saying everything. Like, she wished, I don't know, it was so negative. So I can't even explain how that moment was. But eventually I got to see my aunt. And while going home with my aunt was telling me like what she said to her. So my aunt was saying, she was asking her, what's her jobs? What is she working? Why do I have so much, why do I know so much Canadians and I never traveled before? My aunt told me, she just replied back to her and saying that Facebook. So I was like, that's such a coincidence. I told her the same thing, you know? So I was asking my aunt, is it legal for like people to just, so for them to just go to your phone like that? I don't know. Can't remember exactly who the answers was, but I'm glad that I came through and everything was okay at the moment. But yeah, I couldn't have stayed by my aunt for long either because I know it was very uncomfortable there. Because sometimes I needed help and I didn't know where to go. And I asked her a few questions like, where can I find help and stuff. Just simple help like getting a job or other stuff. She didn't really give me nothing that really helpful because at that point I was always home, hungry. The house never had food, I never understand why, but everyone always eating except me. And around a month I had to leave there. After I leave, I was the same Facebook. I use Facebook and get contact to other people who was in the same area. And it was just someone accepted to take me in. And I was staying with them for a month or so. And after a month, I got a job. Within that month after I leave my aunt and was with this other guy, I got a job at a hotel. Because I was speaking with this other guy. And he had a boyfriend who is a supervisor who was working at a hotel. And I got a job at a hotel. And I was working at this hotel. And after I was working, so I was getting a bit more familiar around the gay community because it was downtown. And when I come back home by these other people who I was staying by, they start judging me and calling me names and stuff. Like, why am I walking like that? Why do I act like that? Why do I speak like that? Why do I toss my hand like that? And I'm like, I started to be more secure to myself. So I'd be like, why are you studying me? You know, I'm just, you is the one who decided to just give me a lodging for now. So at one point I got to stay by the hotel and I was staying at the hotel for like on the weekends. And I accept to sometimes work overnight, just keep working. And they say, okay, you can work, no problem. So I was working double shift all the time. And at one time my friend called me because I'm where I was staying with these people. I made friend with this specific person who was there. And she was just my friend there. I didn't have no one to talk to, so she always talked to me. And when everyone else was telling me keep from her, I decided not to keep from her because she was all alone. And I know what it's like to be all alone. So I communicate with her. And I guess I didn't like that. So at one time when she called me and tell me my stuff is outside. And if I put them there, I was like, no, why they are there? And yeah, so I came home that day. And when I came home, they tell me I have to leave. So I was like, okay. So I call this boy from New York. We was kind of dating, not really dating, but we fool around and stuff. And he called my friend, whose name is Keyshawn, and I built a relationship with Keyshawn's mom even before I even get to speak to Keyshawn because I had to show her that I'm not gay because she was familiar with Keyshawn's sexuality. And yeah, so after I called Keyshawn, it's like he told me just speak to his mom. And after I just hand over the phone and I told her what's happening to me, knowing that I already built a relationship with her, she didn't know about my sexuality, so she was like, okay, you can come over and build yourself up, and after we work along from there. So I did that. So I knew exactly where I was going at that point. So I didn't care whether they want to kick me out or not, because I was saying, okay, I got a job, and my friend decided to take me now. So, and he's gay, and knowing I'm bisexual, I guess it's gonna be a good communication. So I moved there like the next morning, like 4 o'clock. As soon as the bus came on the road, I get up and I get my stuff. No one even wake up as yet, and I was out of that place. When I got up my friend's house, everyone was still sleeping. So I just put down my stuff and I just rest my head and sleep with everybody else. So yeah. So it didn't last as long with him. Then I told him, like, you know, I had to leave my country because I got attacked a few times. So he was telling me, you know, you can file a refugee because, you know, they protect you here. It's, you can be whatever you want here, you know. So I do a bit of research and stuff, and I read up a bit, and I found out, yes, it's actually true. And he followed me, and I got through with my claim. Well, the beginning, not the full process of that. And yeah, they accept the first part when I told them I'm actually gay. And they accepted. But it was good at that time. So he always wanted, like, every time he come home, he want us to jerk off and suck my dick. We do other stuff. At one point, I just decided to just tell him it's so I don't want to do it no more, you know, because you have a boyfriend, and because working at the hotel, me and his boyfriend got so close, you know, he was like a big brother to me. And I didn't want to be like I disrespecting their relationship in any way. So I just decided to tell him, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. And he got upset. So every time he leave, he always texts me and tell me I have to leave, and he gave me a date. So at one point I was crying and telling his boyfriend what he said. And his boyfriend was saying, don't study about that because he's gonna find somewhere for you to go. And I told his mom was telling me, don't leave. So I was like, okay, I stay a little longer. But every day he's keep telling me, leave, 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 and he's cursing me. So I just say, you know what? I'm gonna leave. So he helped me. I had to find my way on my own. So I got onto OW, Ontario Works, and they helped me get some money. And I used that money and I deposited on the place because his boyfriend found the place for me, and that was right not too far from where I was working. And at that point I had to do cash job because what else could I do? You know? I was connected to, he connected me to 519 and Black Cap. But he's just like showing me the buildings and telling me I have to sign up with this place, I have to go to this place. So I eventually, I don't know, I find the places on my own because I was keep speaking with his boyfriend to like give me directions. And after I know being in the place, you know, I get familiar with the map and I actually get to find about the place. And even Soy Express Group, yeah, his boyfriend should tell me that one because he's telling me that one is better, because some of the places they just want you for sex and they're just looking for man, and you need to go places where you feel comfortable and happy and connected. So I said, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I don't really looking for no man. I don't mind find a proper relationship. It doesn't really matter what sexuality, what your gender is like. I want someone to love me, care for me, and be there. You know, someone who I can work with and make something happen. So I was connected with the 519, but I wasn't really comfortable there because every time I'm there, it's like they're always touching and feeling. I don't know, it didn't feel like they wanted to help. It was like they're trying to help themselves sexually. It was always after the meeting, they were like, okay, let's go. They want to take me somewhere. And in the ending, I'm reaching in their place. So after I just stopped going there because one time I called there asking, I asked them like, do you guys give token after I come to the groups? Because I didn't have no contact information. of the place. So I speak to someone and someone give me the contact information for the direct person. And I never knew it was their personal phone, so I contact their phone. And they was like, why are you calling me on my personal phone? This is not business phone. So I'm like, okay, I'm just trying to find out if you guys give token after the group. She's like, no, we don't give token after the group. And don't call back on this phone. I'm like, okay, sorry. So I just hang up. After that, I just never go back to that place. Because I don't see why people, if you're in a business and if you're there to help people, it doesn't even matter what phone you call on. Who cares? Anyway, I got connected to Soy. Yeah, Soy Support. It's an awesome place. I'm still with it right now. I got connected to Black Cap too. Black Cap is very nice also, but it's a bit more busy. I think they're doing an awesome job, but when I'm with Soy, I actually feel like family, you know? They're actually there for me. I can socialize. Maybe it's because the group is not so big and everybody can actually be individual with everybody. And we can actually hear our voices. And you learn how to be respectful. That's a very good thing about Soy also. Because all them people will be like, don't speak when someone is speaking. Yeah, so I learned a lot of manners from being there. You know, it's even helping me in my personal life right now, so that's very good. Yeah, so I actually feel like family there, and she take us all over the place, have a lot of fun. And you feel really connected because you're actually with other queer people who is just like you, and you feel like no one is judging anyone. Everybody can be whoever they like, and it's awesome, you know? So I'm always with Blaze. With the Black Cap now, I think they're pretty awesome too, but not in family wise. Maybe if you need other more serious stuff to get deal with, you know, you can be referred. But I never got disrespected in any way, so they helped me out also. So now I'm actually making it. I'm connected with so much different groups. Like, I'm still connected with the Black Cap. I don't go to meeting, but I normally check in with the person who is there, let them know what's going on with me. Yeah, so he said it's okay to check in even though I'm not coming to meeting. Yeah, I explained to him why I don't want to come to meeting either, because sometimes the same people who go to the 519, they go to the Black Cap, and I'm not comfortable with those kind of people. So I told him that. So he said, okay. So I just check in with him. So right now, I'm no more living with strangers. I actually own my own apartment, and I have a partner. We started a family, and thing is really working out very fine now. And I connected to some awesome groups now, like Sketch. So awesome. I meet so many wonderful people there. I'm not gonna tell you guys the names. You need to come check it out. And I'm connected with the Griffin Center also, and my counselor there, she's really awesome. She deals with LGBTQ people also, so she knows exactly how to help you with whatever you need help in, because like she helping my, because my partner has some bad experience also with parents, and so her parent like take away all her stuff. So right now my counselor is actually helping both of us, you know? So she helping her getting back all her documents. So I'm really thankful for that, because I know I don't have the money to pay a lawyer to do those stuff.